Ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for tuning in to Shooting the Lights Out. I'm going to show a little bit different today. That's why you don't see me on here, but you will see me after I do what I need to do to begin the show, because breaking news took place and I wanted to make sure that I get that breaking news in here. It's the news of the day on this Memorial Day. NBA champion Hall of Famer Bill Walton has died at the age of 71. From his battle with cancer. Bill Walton from La Mesa, California, went to college at the University of California, Los Angeles, better known as UCLA. Well, he was a two-time NCAA champion, a three-time National Player of the Year, two-time Final Four Most Outstanding Player of the Year, and a three-time consensus first-team All-American. That was in his college days when he was head coached by John Wooden, the great John Wooden. And into the NBA, where he left from 1974, being the first overall pick to the Portland Trail Blazers. He got the Portland Trail Blazers to the NBA championship in 1978. He was the MVP that season, as well as Finals MVP. He would then, in 1979, the year after winning the championship, sign with then known as the San Diego Clippers. He was there until 1985. He was part of the transition from San Diego to Los Angeles when the Clippers became what we know as today, the Los Angeles Clippers. Due to a lot of injuries, mostly foot injuries, with numerous of surgeries throughout his illustrious career, mostly during the time as a Clipper, he would leave the sweet state of California and head to the East Coast and sign with the Boston Celtics. And then signing with the Boston Celtics, he became the 1986 Sixth Man of the Year, in the year which the Boston Celtics would go on to win the NBA championship in 1986, backing up Kevin McHale, Rob Parrish, and countless of others on that team that also involved a young Larry Bird. He would then move on to retire. He would go into commentary for the NBA, but he was mostly known for his commentary when it came to ESPN college basketball, mainly the Pac-12. That's what we got to hear most of his journey as he talked about college basketball in the Pac-12 when he deemed as the League of Champions. And he has the right to say it because in his time, he was part of a two-time national champion at the University of UCLA. So, ladies and gentlemen, the great Hall of Famer, great commentator, Bill Walton, dies at the age of 71 from cancer.
sound like some Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win, that's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shoot, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, happy Memorial Day once again. Those of you who missed it, I did my intro a little bit different today. Instead of opening up like I usually do, I open up with the breaking news of the day on this Memorial Day, that is Bill Walton dying at the age of 71 in a battle against cancer. So I wanted to make sure that I get that in there because that was breaking news. It happened about an hour ago. The news broke. So I had to make sure I get that in there. But nevertheless, I am here on Memorial Day Thank you to all the servicemen and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice in fighting to defend this great country that we live in, to have days like this where I can talk basketball, man. I can be here talking basketball on a holiday, paying homage and saying thanks to the servicemen and women, no matter if it's the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marine, are fighting for what this country is known as, the Freedom Land. So those of you out there want to say thank you. All right. Now let's get to some basketball. Okay. So got some news, got some notes that we're going to dive into. So now that I got the Bill Walton thing out the way, let's go ahead and get to the rest of the Around the Hardwood. And to begin Around the Hardwood, let's start in the collegiate arena, where Kentucky's DJ Wyatt is joining John Calipari at Arkansas. He put his name in the transfer portal when news broke that John Calipari will be no longer coaching the Kentucky Wildcats, but he will be going to Arkansas. If I remember correct, I think he had his name. I forgot what school it was, but I think it was a school in the Big 12 he was thinking about going to. Backed out of it and said he's going to head over and join his former coach of Kentucky over in Arkansas. So John Calipari is getting some of his old players from Kentucky to join him in Arkansas. We'll see how that works down in Fayetteville when the next season gets here. Moving right along. Speaking of college, reports came out the ACC revenues went up 14% during the 2022-2023 season, but it's still trailing the Big Ten and the SEC, which is no surprise in here. If I remember correctly, they had a upgrade to about $70.5 million of revenue going up. You're talking about right behind the SEC and the Big Ten, which is over $850-something-odd million of revenue. And the ACC is like at 700 and something. That's like a whole lot of difference in money. The reason why Florida State and Clemson are filing lawsuits so they can get up out of the ACC and probably go to the Big Ten or the SEC. Some people believe that if this does happen and Florida State and Clemson are able to leave, that Clemson would be trying to join the SEC and Florida State would try to join the Big Ten. Either way, the ACC is in a battle, even though they did add some schools to their conference. But the landscape of college sports is changing in formation. It's literally changing in all aspects. So pay attention, because in a month from now, close to a month from now, the official conference realignment goes into effect. So pay attention to that. That's enough for the collegiate sport. Let's go to the WNBA, because we got one major news that we got right here. The Las Vegas Aces have waived guard Daija Frey. They drafted her this past draft from the University of Syracuse. She was the second leading scorer this past college season, right behind Caitlin Clark. I think she got up to third all time in her career as a college player. Very interesting that she gets waived, but we talking about the defending champs. So they still got Jackie Young, Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray haven't even touched the floor yet. Okay, Kate Martin, they drafted also from Iowa with Caitlin Clark. I mean, they got a lot of guards, so somebody had to go, and unfortunately, one of the leading scorers in college basketball, women's college basketball history, was the one who got the pink slip. We'll see if there's another team out there who will give her an opportunity. I do believe she deserves an opportunity. She deserves an opportunity to get on the court. Or maybe she goes overseas like most of the other women have done and get playing time over there. But Daija Frey, way by the defending champ Las Vegas Aces. Now let's go to the NBA side. And congratulations are in over to the Curry family. Steph Curry and Ayesha Curry have announced the birth of their fourth child. Didn't really dive into it. I believe it's a boy. Nevertheless, the Curry family, they are one away from having a starting lineup. Just saying. But congratulations to the Curry family bringing in their fourth child into this wonderful world, as Steph Curry is focus on being a husband and a father right now until it's time to prepare for the Olympics, which is in about 2 months from now, towards the middle of July to the middle of August is Olympic time. So why is he at home? He's been a father and a husband, and rightfully so. So congratulations to the Curry family. Now, the Sacramento Kings and head coach Mike Brown table contract talks, as Mike Brown is set to coach his final season with the Sacramento Kings. But both sides want to negotiate a contract extension before he enters the final year of his contract. As of right now, they are not close to coming into an agreement. Doesn't specifically say what's the issue, but if I had to guess, I'm guessing it will be probably the money or the length of time, one of the two, or what of how long he wants to coach this team or what kind of money he should be paid to coach the team. Nevertheless, for right now, no contract extensions for head coach Mike Brown when it comes to Sacramento Kings. We'll see what happens as the days and months continue to roll on and where we go from there when it comes to the Sacramento Kings. And then finally, Derek Lively, center for the Dallas Mavericks. He was ruled out of last night's game, but the next spring he got injured in the third quarter as the Mavericks was trying to take a 3-0 lead over the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Status for Game 4 is up in the air, especially with the results of how Game 3 went, which I will get to in the final segment of our show today. Nevertheless, signs are pretty good right now that he didn't suffer a serious injury. It's just a neck sprain, probably going to take some days, maybe a week or two before they really heal, because I had that before, and it's not a pleasant feeling to have a sprain in your neck. Because you have little movement in your neck, but nevertheless, it's not severe and it's not serious, so that's good news. But game for open air, especially after what happened last night. And that will be it for Around the Hardwood. All right, we're gonna take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're gonna hit the W. Because this past weekend in the W was very interesting, to say the least.
The largest egg producer finds bird flu in chickens at a Texas plant? Weather. Devastating tornadoes ripped through the heart of the United States. Inspiration. A breast cancer survivor completed the journey of chemotherapy and now begins a future one of matrimony or sport. Michael Jordan is shown on a photo with Diddy. LeBron James has a video extolling the virtues of a Diddy party. This has been yet another Beating a Dead Horse presentation. We got you covered. BS3 Network proudly presents The Morning Shift with Cole Johnson. Live every weekday morning beginning April 29th at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC.
Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime.
Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but three countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Shop hats and official sports gear at Liz. Liz,
is the leader and number one destination for hats, gears, and everything that moves you, making it the perfect shop for fans to find official sports hats, merchandise, and gear. Represent your team, your town, and your style with a snapback adjustable fitted hat or beanie from thousands of college and pro teams. Browse the very latest sports jerseys and t-shirts from the best teams out there. Legs has officially licensed professional and college sport team apparel and hats featuring the hottest brands and trends. Shop online or visit one of the 100 stores across the country. Locker Rooms by Liz.
Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week in an objective manner and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care. Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets. Poppy J.
You got the option to cry for the government. You got the option to protest. You got the option to keep buying, but this is also an option.
Wise El Jefe.
We're the first tech geeks. We're the first gamers. We're the first everything. Everything. Like Gen X's, we are the ones.
BS3 Network proudly presents the crew from the New York boroughs who never wants that smoke. Nah, they want that fire. Poppy J and Wise El Jefe, Fridays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Check your local listings for your viewing and listening pleasure.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out on this Memorial Day, May 27, 2024. I didn't do my usual introduction, so let me get back into that, should I say. Now that we are back, we are sponsored by Fanatics, Paramount Plus, and Liz. Liz has a 25% off site-wide today only for Memorial Day. Use the promo code LIDS25. That is LIDS25. I will put that in the ticket down below so that y'all will have it and y'all can get with it when it comes to LIDS. And get your stuff, man. You know, it's Memorial Day. Gotta get your gear, man. Get your gear. Don't waste time. Go ahead and get it. Do what you gotta do and make it happen. Now, let me go ahead and let's jump into it because we're going to talk WNBA because this weekend, a lot of stuff happened this weekend. Got to talk about it. So let's get to it. The WNBA. We're going to jump right into it. We're going to begin all the way back on Friday. We had one game Friday. It was the Indiana Field looking for the first win of the season out in the city of Angels to take on the Los Angeles Sparks. And what do you know? The Indiana Fever are off the schneid. They got their first dub of the season, 78-73. Kia Mitchell, 18 points to lead the way. Aaliyah Boston had her best game of the season thus far with 17.6 boards. Caitlin Clark struggled with only 11 points, so she almost had a triple-double, though. 11 points, 10 rebounds, 11 dimes. She was 2 for 9 from 3, 4 for 14 from the field, but when the Indiana Fever needed it, Caitlin Clark pulled up for three and drained it, giving the Fever that dagger that they needed to get that first dub of the season. What a game. On the other side, Nerika Handy doing what she's been doing, 18 points, 12 boards, 7 dimes, doing what she's doing. Cameron Brink had her best game thus far in game 4 with 15 points and 9 boards. The guards for the Sparks, though, struggled, as y'all can see. The three guards combined for 11 points. Caitlin Clark had 11 points by herself. So one Caitlin Clark outdid the entire backcourt the LA Sparks, or at least match, by the way. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing for you, the Sparks. See, this is where, this is one of those times I want to see Rikita Jackson win the game more often, okay? See, Rikita's on again, like, it's 40 minutes of the game. She's on again, like, 18, 15 minutes a game. I need Rikita to get, like, 25 minutes a game. I need that for Rikita Jackson, okay? Like, Kurt Miller, I'm going to need you to figure out a way to get Rikita Jackson more minutes, because when you need a bucket, that's what Rikita's good at. Rikita's good at being a bucket, okay? And, like, you're not playing Rikita a lot of minutes. Like now that I'm thinking about it, let me go look at the actual minutes that Rikita Jackson is actually getting in these games, because I'm pretty sure if she's playing most and she's getting the type of minutes that she should get, maybe you're not losing. Maybe you're not 1-3 right now. Okay. Rikita Jackson, she's getting about 23 minutes a game. So she's getting a little more than half. How many minutes she played in this game Friday? She got 21 minutes. She scored 16 points. What is Kirk Miller doing? What is he looking for? Like, Rikita Jackson gave you 16 points. Like, give her some playing time so she can do what she can do. But hey, that's Kirk Miller's team, not my team. Just saying. He has a go-get on his team, and he's not giving her the minutes. That's all I'm saying. But nevertheless, shout out to the Indiana Fever. Shout out to Caitlin Clark. Even though she struggled when it counted the most, she made the shot that needed to be made for the Fever to get their first win of the season. So shout out to them. Here's a shooting percentage for the team statistics, shall I say. 42% to 42.4%, fairly even on the field. 28% to 20.8%, Fever leading in three-pointers. You know, very close contested game, as you saw in the final score. So shout out to the Indiana Fever getting their first win. Then Saturday, we had a massive game. So five games on Saturday, and beginning with, my lady took one. My girls took one hard, and took one very, very hard. Minnesota came out, punched us in the mouth, led by 14 after one. We was able to cut it down to four at halftime, and Minnesota put their foot up our ass. I'm just gonna call it how I see it. Deliberately took the Lynx foot up their ass. I'm just calling it how I see it. I have no idea. This is the most quiet 2011-5 game I ever seen Breonna Stewart have. Seriously, this is the quietest 2011-5 game I ever seen Bree have. I have never seen Stewie have 2011-5, and we're not talking about it. Like, they didn't even matter, because the Minnesota Lynx, they was on point for almost every spot. You see McBride with 14, Aficia Carter with 15, Smith with 15, Compton with 14. They put their foot up our ass. I'm just gonna call it. Like, JJ couldn't stay out of foul trouble. Another game where she had five fouls, she was close to finding out. She only gave me 4 points, 1-for-5 from the field, 0-for-2 from three. Only gave me 6 boards. I mean, Cody Vessel, she had one of her better games this one, but too late. Too bad we got our ass whooped. She gave me 12 points with 6 dimes. Sabrina Nescu, 13 points. We just got our ass whooped by Minnesota. At this moment in time right now, we are no longer the second best team. We have dropped to the third best team in the whole league. Okay. We was the second best team going into the season. We are now the third best team in the season. I'm just going to say that right now. And consequently, we might be the fourth best team, because there's a team out there in the desert who's playing pretty good basketball. But I'll get to them in a minute, because I think they took a L as well. You see the team statistics. New York shot 38% from the field, 24% from three. I mean, good Lord have mercy. 7-for-29 from three. That is not Liberty basketball. That's not Liberty basketball. We do not get outshot from three, but Minnesota did it. Minnesota went 14-for-28. A whole 50%. That's why we got our ass whooped. Our shots ain't dropping, theirs are. And that's a problem. If we can't get our shots to drop like we did last year, we might not be making it back to the WNBA Finals. We might be getting canned early. Just throwing that out there. Just letting it be known. But shout out to the Minnesota Lynx. They handle business at home and they whooped our ass. That was to begin the day. Game two of the day on Saturday was in the city, was in the windy city of Chicago as the Sky hosted the Connecticut Sun. And the Connecticut Sun remained the lone unbeaten team left at 5-0. Okay. DeJuan Obama with 19 points, 8 boards. Brianna Jones, like I said, she's starting to find horrendous 16 points, 7 from 8 from the field. She missed one shot and she got 16 points. Harris dropped 15. Carrington gave you 16. Diamond DeShield, she's struggling on this one. She only got 3 points. But Marbury gave you 23. Evans gave you 13 if you're the Sky. And Teresa Witherspoon, you got 10 from Wednesday. And you got 13 and 5 from Angel Reese. But you see, Alisa Thomas, she only played 23 minutes because she got ejected. That's right. The runner-up in the MVP voted behind Breonna Stewart. Only 9 points, 6 assists, 6 boards in 23 minutes because she got ejected. And for those of you who didn't see the game, show you the team stats first with 49% from the Suns and basically 44% for the Sky. When you shoot like that on the road, you can win some games, which the Suns did to remain undefeated. Here's what got Alisa Thomas ejected. As you can see here, she has Angel Reese by her throat, singing her down as Angel Reese is going for the offensive rebound. Now going into it, if you play in a slow-mo, if you go to the video and play in slow-mo, you can see Angel Reese catches Thomas in the face. Don't think she did it on purpose. Think it was an accident. And I don't think Alisa Thomas was paying attention to where she had Angel Reese at. To be completely honest with you, I don't think she was paying attention to where she had her at. I don't think she was paying attention that she had her by the neck to throw her down, but she threw her ass down and viciously at that. Okay. Some hard-nosed basketball being played between the two. Former Maryland Terrapin. Okay, when Angel Reese came in as a freshman, Thomas was a senior, I believe, on her way out while Angel Reese was coming in. So they built somewhat of a relationship back in college. So they know each other. Nevertheless, referees reviewed it. First, they just called a foul. Just called a hard foul. Then they went to review it, and they see where Thomas had Angel Reese by the neck, and they upgraded to a flagrant 2. And the flagrant 2 is an automatic eject. So those of you who don't know the rule, it's the same rules as the NBA. So a flagrant foul penalty 1 is unnecessary contact committed by a player against an opponent. Flagrant foul penalty 2 is unnecessary and excessive contact committed by a player against an opponent. So let me go back to the picture. See this whole thing where she has her by the neck? Yeah, they call that unnecessary and excessive because the excessive part, she threw her ass down. Like, she tossed Angel Reese down. Angel Reese hit her head. But Angel Reese, being the girl that she is from Baltimore, stood up, got right, and said, all right, you're going to keep going. While Alisa Thomas got injected. And I think that's good enough. People are calling for her to be suspended and all this stuff. Nah. I will say this. It is her eighth. I think it's her eighth career flagrant foul called on her. She has the second most. Now I can see where some people say that. It was her first flagrant 2, though. So she gets called for flagrant foul, but she never can get called for flagrant 2. This is her first ever flagrant 2 foul that leads to an ejection. Okay. But yeah, people out there saying suspend her and this and that. No, she got ejected from the game. It is what it is. Let it go. All right. Just let it go. Let it be done. And I love what Angel Reese said, okay? And I got it for you. Angel Reese said, quote, I mean, I want them to come after me every day. I want them to come at everybody. I mean, they're not supposed to be nice to me. I hope y'all know that. They are not supposed to be nice to me or lay down because I'm Angel Reese or because I'm working. Like, thank you, AT, for sending a message to me because I got back up and I kept going and kept pushing. And she also says, me and AT have been cool since we were at Maryland. So I know it's not no hard feelings, and I appreciate her for going at me today. You see that? Love the response from Angel Reese. those of you out there that don't like Andrew Reese for whatever reason, I just want to remind y'all something. The whole thing with Peyton and Clark popularity booming out of nowhere is not only because she was shooting from three. Y'all forgot the part where Angel Reese did the whole in her face and everybody went up in art war. Y'all forgot about that part. So Angel Reese played a part in the eyeballs going into the women's game even more. Now you have them two both together at the same level. Man, Angel Reese is doing her thing. She's playing her part very well. She's not a superstar, unfortunately. They just call it what it is. She's not a superstar. But she's that person that's going to be she's going to do the dirty work, okay? She's going to be in there battling for rebounds against whoever and however, okay? She's going to make sure she's going to get some shots up, maybe get to the foul line. She work on her free throws. She'll be very dangerous. If she can work on her free throws and make them 80% of the time, she'll be very dangerous in the paint because she gets to the free throw line with no problem because she's hard. No, she goes in there and she don't mind bullying with the big girls like she did with Lisa Thomas. Which led to Thomas getting ejected, by the way. Angel Reese knows her part, and she's going to play her part to make sure she does her part to help the team win. So out of the rookies thus far right now, out of all the rookies, Angel Reese is playing her part the best right now. Now, how would that feel a month from now after the Olympic break? We shall see, because I got a feeling Kate McClark is starting to, you know, find some rhythm. Even though it could be a little tiresome because, let's face it, these freshman class didn't really have an offseason, if we're being completely honest. Most of these freshman class, we're talking about Aaliyah Edwards in Washington, Angel Reese and Carmelo Cardoza in Chicago, Caitlin Clark and Kate Martin in Iowa. We're talking about Cameron Britt from Stanford, Rikita Jackson from Tennessee. Most of these girls played into end of March into April. They got drafted in late April. The season just started a week ago or 2 weeks ago. So they really didn't have an offseason. They literally went from college and had to adapt to the WNBA like that. So it's going to take time for the rookie class to get themselves together. Now that it's an Olympic year, maybe that break will help, you know, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, Carmelo, and the rookie class, you know, take a step back, relax, because it's about a month. It's about a month break. We're talking about, I think, somewhere in mid-July, probably July 14th, 15th to like August 10th or something like that. I got it. By the time when I come back again, I'll make sure I have the dates for the Olympics for you. That way, we actually have a time frame that we can go by. But I'm thinking around a month's time, so that should be good enough time for them to collect themselves, rethink what's going on. Analyze what took place in the first part of the season as a rookie. Okay, now I can work on to get better and stuff like that. But for right now, Angel Reese, she's playing her part the best out of all the rookie classes. And I love it. Speaking of Caitlin Clark and the rookie class, she got the face to the defending champs in Vegas. And y'all thought game one was her worst game. I think this might have been her worst game as a rookie thus far. Caitlin Clark was 2-for-8 from the field, 2-for-5 from three, 8 points, 5 boards, 7 assists. She also had 6 turnovers. But it's against the defending champ, because if you look at the defending champ, oh my goodness, we already know what AJ Wilson can do, 29-15. But the backcourt for the Kelsey Plum, Jackie Young, they went to work. Oh my goodness. Plum gave you 20 and 7 dimes. Jackie Young gave you 22 and with 6 dimes. And by the way, hit Caitlin Clark's pocket a couple of times. I mean, I will give you this though. When it comes to bringing out the best in people, no matter how or how it's been done, Caitlin Clark show has done that. Because the champ said, Oh, so the face of the league is in here tonight. Okay, let's go for it. And, yo, they went at them. Oh, my gosh. Kia Stokes on the gate. Kia Stokes didn't do nothing, but you didn't even need Kia Stokes. You won by 19. Alicia Clark, you didn't even need Alicia Clark. You won by 19. It's them, the big three of AJ Wilson, Kelsey Plum, and Jackie Young. They was not having it. It was not and before the game started, you know, they had to ask, you know, the coach Becky Hammond and Asia wasn't about this whole hating on Kate McCart. And Becky Lynch was like, where's the hate? There is no hate. We love Kate McCart. Here's the thing. We are competitors, so we're going to compete. And when we compete, we're going to see who is who and who can do what. And Caitlin Clark ran into the champ, so that's a different story. That's a different ball game right there. Caitlin Clark got a first-hand taste of what championship looks like. And you see the team statistics here, 43% for the Fever, 48% for the champs. You know, both teams shot 30% from three. Don't even mind, the champs dominated them. But this is what I was trying to tell all y'all. Those of you who not a fan of the WNBA, who didn't pay attention to the WNBA, y'all thought I'm hating on Clay. I'm not hating on Clayton Clark. I looked at their schedule, and I said, well, damn. Your first four games against the top is two. It gets two of the top best three teams in the WNBA. You got the Suns, you got the Liberty, and you get twice, and you got the Suns again. All four came in L's. And so you might have a chance against the Storm or the Spurs. You beat the Spurs, you lost to the Storm, and then you got the Champs. Like, coming out the gate, I'm not surprised they are 1-6 coming out the gate. 0-5 against the top three teams. Because guess what? If anybody wants to put blame the WNBA themselves, okay? Because you knew Kate McCart was coming, and you say, you know what? Most likely she's going to go to the NFL. So what we going to do? We're going to showcase the three best teams that we have. Connecticut, New York, and Las Vegas within the first four games, within the first seven games of Kate McCart's career. See, I've covered the WNBA. This is my second year, like, actually covering the WNBA. But I've been watching the WNBA on and off for quite some time. So I already knew at the gate what was going to happen. So this is not me hating on Clayton Clark. This is me saying, I looked at their schedule. And if you want to rank schedules, the toughest schedule in the first seven games is the Indiana Fever. You got the three best teams in your first seven games. I expect nothing less. Now, let's see what happens going into the end of this month, going into next month, where you don't have this gauntlet of a schedule anymore. Because you probably face New York probably one more time. You'll probably face Connecticut one more time. One more match, well, probably two more matches with the Aces. You know, it's 40 games, so you got to play everybody, not with 12 teams. But the rest of the games between the top three teams is kind of spread it out now. They're not close together like this was. Like, come on, people. That's what I'm trying to say. If y'all need y'all, do your homework. See, when you're talking like, oh, Kate Coffin change the league, Kate Coffin do this and this, I got to get my, y'all must not even saw that schedule. That's not going to happen right away. I don't see it. And as you can see here, what you expect? But now that people understand, or hopefully they understand, this is why I was saying about growing pains when I did it for Kate in the car, because I knew what team she was going against. When you go against Connecticut Suns, shoot, they got a big three. Alicia Thomas, DeWanna Bomber, and Breonna Jones. Breonna Jones was coming back from the Achilles injury, so it's going to take her a while to get back. Now she's starting to get in form now. New York Liberty, they were just in the WNBA Finals. You talking about Breonna Stewart, Jaquara Jones, two MVPs, Sabrina Ionescu, who is the face of the New York Liberty, okay? Belaja Laney Hamilton is a great defender, Caitlin Clark, undefined out. Caitlin Darkin came out the bench, is a great defender, with Caitlin Clark found out, okay? You have the Storm. I'm looking forward to that game because that's a new-look Storm team led by veterans because you have, you know, you still got Jew Lord, the Golden Mamba. Now you pairing her with Skylar Diggins-Smith, who's back from being away from like a year or two. And then you got Nika Ogumake on the team too. So it's a new look team trying to gel together, figure it out against one of the most prestigious rookies to jump into the WNBA. Then you have the Sparks, who's going to be led by two rookies and Cameron Brick and Wakita Jackson. But you got Kia Nurse who can ball. You got Lacey Brown who can get to it. And Derica Handy has been doing her thing. So those were your two games. It's like, all right. So you lost to the Storm by two, which is a good. Okay. You took an L. You was in Charlotte. You was in Seattle. But oh, well. Then you went to LA. You beat the Spurs by five. You got your first double defeat. Then you first the champ. So there you go. Now, let's see what happens going forward. Now that the tough matchups are kind of spread out now. They're not condensed anymore. Now we can now from this point forward, we can actually start judging Caitlin Clark now. Because now that gauntlet of teams that she had to go through is done. Okay, it's a spread it out system now. But that first seven games, I knew it was going to be some problems. I just knew it. Speaking of problems, that leads me to the Washington Mystics. The only team in the W who does not have a win on this season. They are 0-6 after they lost Saturday to the Seattle Storm in a blowout fashion of 101-69. And when you lose by that much and the leading scorer for the team that blew you out only has 19, which is Nike Agumake, that means the entire team put their foot up your ass. 19, 16, 16, 18. That's just the starters. There ain't no telling what the bench looked like. And then on the Washington side, Leah Edwards only gave you 4 points. She's still adjusting. She's going to have it the worst, okay? I know Caitlin Clark's going to get all the attention. Angel Reese's going to get the attention, you know, stuff like that. Even Cameron Britt from time to time. But the rookie that's going to have it the worst is Leah Edwards because she's on the team. They don't have no stars. Natasha Clouds in Phoenix having a fun time right now. Elena Deladon, she says she needs a break from basketball, so who knows what she's doing, but she's probably enjoying her life right now. Who are your stars if you're the Washington Mystics? Who are your stars? Because I don't see none. Samson, 16 points. Y'all don't have no stars. So Aaliyah Edwards is in the position where she's going to have it rough. She's in a position that is the complete opposite of what she had at UConn. Let me put it like that. When she had a UConn, you know, Gino Ramo, you know, the system, you know, how we're going to play, you know, this, you know, your role. Washington, that is completely different. And Washington Mystics can't find a win right now. So, team statistics is the Mystics shot 34% from the field while the Storm shot 61%. That's all you need. And then speaking of the Mercury, they took on the Dallas Wings in the Valley 107-92. And ladies and gentlemen, we had our first 40-point game of the season from Enrique Agumowale. She dropped 40, 11 for 24 from the field, 7 for 12 on 3, with 7 boards and 4 dimes. She put on the show. She outdid Diana Taurasi and Kalia Copper, who Taurasi, 28 points, 10 for 20 from the field, 6 from 13 from 3. I mean, that's why most people call her the GOAT. And then Copper, who came from Chicago, dropping 32 points. I mean, they tried, but Agumowale dropping 40. Maggie Surgeon gave you 22 to add on to it. Billingsley gave you 18. I mean, get tippy cap to the Dallas Wings, okay? Megan Price, if you're watching, tipping the cap to the Dallas Wings on that one. That was a hell of a road win for the Wings on that one. And Enrique Agumowale, man, she is something special. When she's locked in, good luck stopping her. Okay? Just letting you know. You see, the shooting percentage is 52% on the road. When you shoot 52% on the road and 50% on three on the road, you're going to win games. Like, when you're hitting half of your shots from three and in the field, you're going to win games on the road because guess what? You're not supposed to shoot 50% on the road. You are not supposed to shoot like this on the road. The Dallas Wings did, and they got a dub. A nice dub at that, a 15-point win in Phoenix. That was Saturday slate. Sunday slate, we had two games. The Minnesota Lynx taking on the Atlanta Dream down the ATL. And the Dallas Wings coming off a 40-point performance. It was in L.A. to take on the Sparks. And begin with the Minnesota Lynx continue to roll on. 92-79 win over the Dream. Man. Top. The feature cloud, 20 points, 8 boards, 7 dimes, but it was the McBride show with 31 points, 10 from 12 from the field, 6 from 7 from 3. Put on the shooting display out this world. When a lot of people say the WNBA, they can't shoot. It's a crowd. Well, McBride said otherwise. Oh, we can't come around and Dallas Wayne said otherwise on Saturday. And then you have Rainey Howard gave you 23 points, 8 for 16 from the field, 3 for 7 from 3, doing her thing. Just the Minnesota Lynx, they might be the third best team or the fourth best team in the league right now because they are balling right now. Good Lord, have mercy. Look at the Minnesota Lynx doing their thing. Like I said, when you shoot 50% on the road, and damn near 45% from three, you're going to win games because you're not supposed to shoot like that on the road. You're not supposed to go on the road in hostile environments and shoot 50% from the field. You're not supposed to do that. But when you do, you're going to win games. As you can see in the Atlanta Dream, they couldn't hang with the Lynx. So, and in game two, the Dallas Wings continue their performances. They're going 3-2 with a 1-point win over the Sparks, 84-83. Arike Ogunbowale, 20 points to lead away. All five starters for the Wings in double figures. Bellisley, 18. Citrus with 15. McLeod with 12. Yunus with 11. The best performance for Cameron Brick, best overall performance for Cameron Brick in her young WNBA career, 21 points. You know, that's a good outing. You only gave me two rebounds. Got to get you back on the board, but you did have five fouls, so you almost fouled out. But Kia Nurse had it rough. Nothing. No points, no boards, only three assists, only four shots. Kia Nurse is better than that. Kia Nurse is better than that, but as one new game, she just didn't have it. She did not have it whatsoever. And that's what happens. But nice to see Cameron Brink finding ways to get in the scoring column at 21 points. 7 for 12 from the field. That's good. She went 50% from three, going 3 for 6 from 3-point range. So not bad. 70% assists for the game, as you can see here. You shouldn't own the 40% at home on the 40% from three, you losing games because the Wings didn't have to shoot that well like they did against Phoenix because y'all weren't shooting well at home. And that's a problem. All right. So that's the recap of the weekend. Today, there's no WNBA. They are taking the day off. I'm guessing they're taking the day off for Memorial Day. So we'll pick things back up tomorrow with a triple slate. On CBS Sports Network, they have the Phoenix Mercury at the Kinetic Sun. As the Sun try to go to 6-0, as the lone unbeaten team remaining, that's at 7 p.m. Also at 7 p.m. on NBA TV tomorrow, the LA Sparks taking on the Indiana Fever. Somebody's going to get their second win of the season. Indiana's only win came to LA in LA, so they should feel good about going home to face a team that they already beat. While the Sparks, they're trying to figure something out. Cameron Brink, she had her best offensive game thus far, coming off that last game that we just talked about. So we'll see what the adjustments Kurt Miller makes to combat what Indiana did to them in L.A. See if they can get their second win of the season. Either way, somebody's getting their second win of the season. And then at 8 o'clock, we have the Seattle Storm in the city of Chi-Town to take on the Chicago Sky. We'll see how that goes. Angel Reese doing her thing, and now you got to deal with Anike Ogunbowale. That's going to be fun. Ogunbowale, that should be fun, seeing Ogunbowale trying to school Angel Reese. That's going to be a fun battle to watch on the inside. I'm looking forward to that. And then Wednesday, we have another triple header. When the Phoenix Mercury, after they get done playing with the Kinetic Suns, they take the trip up to Barclays Center to take on the New York Liberty, and the New York Liberty needs some answers. We need some answers. Okay, we took a bad L to the Chicago Sky at home, and then we went to Minnesota and got our foot put up our ass. So, Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Nesco, we're going to need some answers, okay? Okay. Sandy Brown Bedella, you're my head coach. I need you to find some answers, okay? I don't like us being 4-2 right now on a two-game losing streak here. So, find some answers because Diana Taurasi is coming in with Kylie Copper. And we know how Kylie Copper can play. She's a hooper. She can score 30 in any given time. Now that I got up. That's at 7 p.m. on CBS Sports Network. On MSNBC, we have the Atlanta Dream in the D.C. to take on the Washington Mystics. Can the Mystics find a win somewhere? Can they find it against the Atlanta Dream? We shall see. That's at 7 p.m. And then at 8 p.m. on NBA TV on Wednesday, the defending champs, they are in Minnesota. They take on the Minnesota Lynx. The Minnesota Lynx only loss is tame to the defending champs out in Vegas. So we'll see how that goes in a rematch. And then Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, we have a doubleheader. On Amazon Prime Video at 7 p.m., the Seattle Storm face off with the Indiana Fever down in Indiana. A rematch from what they took place earlier when the Storm took care of home court. Now can the Indiana Fever defend their home court and get a dub against the Storm? And then at 8 p.m. on Thursday, the L.A. Sparks take on the Chicago Sky. Ricky Rotch for this one on Thursday. Cameron Brick versus Angel Reese. I don't even think they met each other in college. So I think this will be the first ever meet between Cameron Brick and Angel Reese. And man, I would love to see that matchup. Two girls that want to get it on the defensive end, and which girl can get it done on the offensive end. That's the matchup to watch when it comes to the Sparks and Sky. Angel Reese against Cameron Brink. Looking forward to that game Thursday. But that's your WNBA coverage right there. We're going to take our second break. Then when we come back, we got to talk conference finals because these conference finals can be done quick, fast, and in a hurry before we know it. So let's take our break. We'll be back.
I love you, you morons. You kiss on the block, new edition.
Dear whatever the law firm is. Sincerely, the U.S. Supreme Court.
Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Go f*** yourself again, Jason.
Join Ryan McCarthy.
I became a Jets fan because Kermit the Frog was my favorite Muppet because he was green and the Jets wore green. That's how I became a Jets fan.
And Dustin Henry.
ESPN is cashing all in on let's pay a few personalities and we'll just kind of fill in the gaps.
As they walk you through all of the world of sports from their perspective.
The Albany Empire, it's a literal circus.
No credentials required. Where, Ryan, say the tag.
Where you don't need a press pass to talk sports.
Every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. On YouTube and where you can find all podcasts.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the excitement and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there seeing LA Knight. Oh, okay. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go. Yeah!
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings. Monarchs of Wrestling live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel. Join the Transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the Reformer of Hooker Whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the Bronze Claw.
Whenever you are in distress, mm-hmm. Take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color crown they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting the Lights Out here on this Memorial Day. I'm going to say this now. Shout out to Cole Johnson. Shout out to his morning shift with Cole Johnson. He did an episode in regards to Memorial Day. And he also threw some other stuff in there when it comes to certain people like myself who are dealing with certain things this past weekend into today. And speaking of a brother of mine, Cool McCain's in the building. What's up, Cool? Me and Cool will be live tonight for Monitor Wrestling. A lot happened in wrestling over the weekend. Knew some big news broke in wrestling as well. So, yeah, I will be there live tonight. I will be in the building. All right. But before I do that, I got one more thing to do. Conference finals, man. And these series, it's not so much as a series, is it? If I do say so myself. We got two series, both of which are 3-0. And one of them can end tonight, another can end tomorrow. And before you know it, our NBA finals for June 6th will be set after tomorrow if it goes that way. But let's just begin in the Western Conference, shall we? Because exclusively on TNT, the Dallas Mavericks taking on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And we're going to go back to game two, okay? We got games two and game three. So we're going to go back to game two. Game two, 109-108 for the Dallas Mavericks to take a 2-0 lead and win both games in Minnesota. In which I said last time, if Minnesota didn't find a way to win game two at home, there were going to be some serious consequences that came with it. And boy, did in game three, but I'm in game two first. Luka Doncic, 32 points, 10 for 23 from the field, 5 for 11 from three, 10 points, 13 dimes. And pretty much the game won them. The score was 108 to 106. And Luka Doncic hit the patented step back three-pointer off of Rudy Gobert. And that's how you got your 109-108 victory. Kyrie Irving, 20 points. Godfrey gave you 16. On the Timberwolves side, you got 21, 5 and 7 from Ant-Man, 18 from Conley with 5 and 5, 15, 7 from Carlton Towns, 16 and 10 from Rudy Gobert. And yeah, Minnesota is taking that fight down to Dallas to figure out what they can do to get back into this series because now they lost both games at home. Now they're in the position that they put Denver in. We have to find a way to win two games in Dallas. And like I said, if they was to lose, I don't see them winning both games in Dallas. And it didn't take long for that to come to fruition because in game three, 116-107 win by the Mavs, who take a commanding 3-0 lead. You know, Anthony Edwards tried 26 points, 11 for 24 from the field, 9 rebounds, 9 dimes. He almost had a triple-double. Mike Conley gave you 16. Carlton Towns, 11 points and 11 boards. I mean, Rudy Gobert, 9.6 boys. And Luka and Kyrie is just killing Minnesota. Let's just call it what it is. 33 points from Kyrie, 33 points from Luka. They is just killing Minnesota, okay? They just bring Minnesota down. And Ant-Man is learning firsthand what happens when you call certain superstars out and those superstars answer the call. Even though Minnesota shot 50% from the field, Dallas shot 56% from the field. They shot 30% from three while the Mavericks shot 50% from three. I mean, what more do you want me to say? And before I continue on, I think there's a button I need to push. I'm not sure what button. And I think there's a button I need to push because Yeah. Minnesota, you got to put in the flagrant foul. Mainly your two stars of Anthony Edwards and Carlton Towns because, one, Ant-Man, when you said what you said that you wanted Kyrie, you got Kyrie, and this is what Kyrie been doing. He's averaging 27.6 points per game in this series in the three games. He is shooting 52.5% for the series. He's shooting 43.7% from three-point range, giving you 4 rebounds, 4.6 assists. This series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. When Anthony Edwards said he wanted Kyrie, and Kyrie's giving him the business. And then you have Luka Doncic. Luka Magic is in full fruition, even on some bad knees right now. He's giving them 32.6 points per game this series. shooting 46.4% from the field, 40.6% from 3-point range, with 7.6 rebounds and 8.6 assists in this series alone. Okay, these two guys are literally combining for 60 points a game. Okay, let me do some math for you people who are trying to figure out exactly what is that. So Kyrie's at 27.6 points per game, and Luka's at 32.6. So we're talking, these two are combining for 60.2 points per game this series between Kyrie and Luka. Okay. These guys are shooting over 50% from the field. They are shooting over 40% from three. Okay, they giving you 11 boards a game with 13 dimes a game. I mean, what more do you need out of the Dallas Mavericks? You don't need more. But the problem is not with the Dallas Mavericks. It's with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Because those of you, y'all can see Anthony Edwards' stats. 22 points per game, shooting 38.6 from the field, shooting 33.3% from three-point range, 8.3 rebounds, which I'm good with, 6 assists per game, which is I'm good with. So even though Ant-Man is trying to be that star, that face of the franchise, he's young. And the only problem that I have with him, he said he wanted Kyrie, and Kyrie bust his ass. That's my only problem with Ant-Man. But Ant-Man is trying. He's trying his damnness. He just don't have no answers because Luka and Kyrie are different than anybody else Ant-Man has ever faced in the game of basketball. Okay? In the game of basketball, he's meeting two guys who are just different. There's no way else to put it. They're just different. All right? But if you notice, below the little tag line that says for your problem in Minnesota is mainly Carl Anthony Towns. Why is it mainly Carl Anthony Towns? So let me take that off the screen so you can see fully. Carl Anthony Towns is only giving you 15 points a game. That man is shooting 27.7% from the field. He's 15 for 54 in this series. 15 for 54. Bruh, matter of fact, let me go to the. He's shooting 13.3% from 3-point range because he's taking 22 threes and only made 3 of them. Why is your big ass taking 22 goddamn threes in a series when you ain't hitting a goddamn three? You was 0 for 8 from 3-point range last night. Why is you shooting 8 3-pointers when you know you ain't making them? You're in 7-foot tall, big man, take your ass inside because ain't nobody on the Dallas team that's taller than you. Want to know my main problem with Minnesota? I don't even care what Anthony Edwards say he wanted Kyrie. Cool. I don't care. Competition. He wants to smoke. He got the smoke and he's learning firsthand. But Carl Anthony Towns, who on the Dallas Mavericks team can match you? Who can stop you on Dallas? It should be nobody. 15 points a game. That's it. The second best player on the Minnesota Timberwolves at one point in time was supposed to be the best guy on the Timberwolves because there was no Anthony Edwards. Now Ant-Man got there. He's the first of the franchise. 15 mother and father points a game. Fifteen. Your ass want to shoot three. I am the best big man shooter there is. 3 for 22 from 3-point range to the best big man shooter that ever stepped foot in the NBA. My ass. Oh, and by the way, you know what, cool? I did forget that part. I forgot. That's the moniker he has been getting from a lot of fans that watches the NBA. That Carl Anthony Towns is soft. Ant-Man's trying. He spoke about it. He's trying to walk the walk. It just ain't working now. It's just not working for Ant-Man in this. He talked the talk. He walked the walk against Phoenix. He talked the talk. He walked the walk against the defending champion Denver Nuggets. He talked the talk, and Kyrie's making sure he don't walk the walk, and Kyrie's doing a hell of a job right now. But Carl Anthony Towns, oh my mother and father goodness. You, oh man, I have no idea in the fathering world is Chris Finch doing with this team. Because what if I remember correctly, is there not a sixth man on that team? I mean, is that not a player on the Minnesota Timberwolves that won sixth man of the year? Does my memory serve me correctly? There's a guy on that team that won sixth man of the year, right? This season, there's a Timberwolves that won sixth man of the year. Where the hell is Naz Reid at? Chris Finch, where's Naz Reid? Because at this point in time, between Rudy Gobert and Carl Anthony Towns, they not showing up for you. They not. You got 2 7-footers and they can't do nothing against the Dallas Mavericks whatsoever. What? Naz Reid. Naz Reid gave you 14 points last night in 29 minutes. That man was 5 of 10 from the field, 1 from 5 from 3. That man, in 9 less minutes, did exactly what Carl Anthony Towns did in the scoring department. Exactly what Carl Anthony Towns did in the scoring department. He did more than what Rudy Gobert did in the same amount of minutes he got. That's game 3. I don't know, Chris Finch, what you need to do. But Naz Reid better be in that starting lineup, because your ass and the Timberwolves' ass is on the line tomorrow night, because it is game 4 and you're down 0-3. There's no injuries we can look at for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Okay. Nobody's missing from the Minnesota Timberwolves. Everybody's healthy. Y'all just getting y'all ass whooped. And any given fashion, the Dallas Mavericks feel like doing it, because they got two guys in Luka and Kyrie who say that y'all wanted the smoke. Y'all going to get the smoke. Matter of fact, let's go back to game 2 when it comes to Rudy Gobert. Who did Luka Doncic shoot that game-winning 3 on? Rudy Gobert, a 4-time defensive player of the year who can do a damn thing against Luka. And that's how you lose game 2. At home, by the way. At home. Like, Chris, man, you gotta do something. You gotta do something, because playing both Rudy Gobert and Carson Towns against the Dallas Mavericks ain't working at all. You get smacked around. Game 1, Kyrie said, all right, Anthony Edwards said he wants the smoke. I'm gonna come out here and bust 20 in the first half. All right, I did my part, but y'all forgot I'm not the face of the franchise. That guy that's 77 named Luka Doncic, he's the first of the franchise, and he came out in the second half of game 1 and bust y'all ass. And that's how that was won game 1. And then game 2, Luka was like, I'm not losing this game. I just don't feel like losing to y'all. I really don't. And hit the game with an OVO defensive player of the year. And then last night, Luka and Kyrie said, we just going to go off together and both go for 33 and let Carl Anthony Towns be the dumb as he is and stay out there and shoot some damn threes. Which made it easy for P.J. Washington and Derek Lively before he got injured and Godfrey to go inside and say, hey, we can rebound. Rudy Gobert and all that. They is punking y'all. Y'all getting punked by the Dallas Mavericks. And Anthony Edwards, no matter how hard he try, he's only one man. That's one superstar going against two. And the two is dominating his ass. He need help. But without Carl Anthony Towns being so soft to go inside and use his damn height to make easy buckets instead of shooting some damn threes, maybe the Minnesota Timberwolves won't be in this damn problem. But they are. Oh my gosh. Carl Anthony Towns, 3-for-22 from the 3-point range, and he want to be the best big man shooting. And tomorrow night it is game 4. Will it be the closing door for the Dallas Mavericks on the Timberwolves, or will the Timberwolves find a way to make it back to Minnesota with a game 5? I have no idea, and I don't like their chances, to be honest. And yes, cool, you're right. Dallas do got depth in the front court, but still, you got 2 7-footers. Ain't nobody on Dallas that can really match them. They're not supposed to match them too, but as you said earlier, one of them is soft, and the other one, he's just a defensive player of the year who don't know how to defend, how to be a defender on the outside. He doesn't defend on the inside. So, tomorrow night, Minnesota, what you going to do? Anthony Edwards, you want to be the face of the league? You're going to have to do something that nobody, no Jordan, no Kobe, no LeBron, no Dwayne Wade, no Steph Curry, no Magic Johnson, no Larry Bird. You have to do something that nobody has ever done. And that's the goal from 3-0 to 4-3. Good luck, sir. But I will be watching. Because I know you're going to do everything you can. But is that other guy for you that's known as Cat going to show up and help you get back to Minnesota? Or are you just going to mail it in and go home? So, hey. That's the Western Conference Finals. Let's head to the East. Where is the Boston Celtics going against the Indiana Pacers exclusively on the networks of ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC? And then we left off with the Celtics defending home court, winning game two. And then in the aftermath of winning game two, Tyrese Haliburton aggravated that left hamstring once again. Didn't know what the status was going to be, but I said it didn't look good for him to be in the game three, which he did not play in game three. And then in game three, the Indiana Pacers came out, punched the Boston Celtics in their damn mouth. They had a lead of 18 at one point, but you see the final score, which means the Boston Celtics came back from down 18 to still game three. In Indianapolis to send the Indiana Pacers to a 3-0 deficit. After Jaylen Brown went from 40 in game two, he came back and dropped 24. Jason Tatum gave you 36, 10, and 8. Al Horford, 23 points and 5 boards, his best game of these playoffs. Jrue Holiday with 14 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, and the key steal. The key steal. And bucket that led to the game being over for the Boston Celtics. Derrick White, 13 points. Andrew Nembhard, the former Gator turned Gonzaga, 32 points with nine dimes. Miles Turner, 22 points, 10 boards. Pascal Siakam gave you 22 points with 6 dimes. Just wasn't enough. Just wasn't enough. And the Indiana Pacers are in a position that they do not want to be in because they have to win every single game going forward to where they can force a game 7 in TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Shooting percentages, team stats, 47% for the Celtics to 50.5% for the Pacers. Pacers shot terrible at home from three, only 22.7%, while the Celtics shot 34.8%. Like I said, they had a lead of 18 that evaporated into a Boston win. Boston Celtics had 12 blocks. That's a lot of blocks for a game. Nevertheless, it was a done deal for the Boston Celtics. Now the Indiana Pacers has to win game four at home to make a trip back to Boston. Depending on the status of Tyrese Haliburton, that's a daunting task. So the Pacers are in the same position that the Wolves are in. The Wolves trying to go home for a game five. Indiana trying to go to Boston for a game five. And that's a difficult task for both teams. But Indiana, I don't know what the status is for Tyrese Haliburton going in tonight. I did see on CBS Sports Network that it might most likely Kristaps Porzingis would not suit up for the Boston Celtics in this game, seeing that they do have a 3-0 lead. And probably save him for the NBA Finals, which begins in next Thursday. Not this Thursday, but next Thursday, June 6th. So they'll probably give him some good extra days of rest to get him ready for the start of the NBA Finals because he's on track to play. He's pretty much on track to play tonight, but I think they're going to use precautionary measures and say, Kristaps, go ahead, sit this one out. Let us finish this on our own, and then we'll get you ready for the NBA Finals. But if Indiana does force a game five tonight, I think we might see Kristaps play game five. That's just my humble opinion. If Indiana find a way to win tonight and they have to go back to Boston, I think Kristaps Porzingis does play. And it could be a good thing because they get him a game to knock the rust off. before the NBA Finals. You don't have to go into the NBA Finals rusty. So you knock the rust off in game five at home, knock out the Indiana Pacers, and then you still have a certain amount of days to get more health and get better for the NBA Finals. But as of right now, it's definitely looking like a Dallas-Boston NBA Finals, in which it's a lot of storylines in there. You know, Kyrie facing Boston, which means Kyrie got to go back to Boston. Kristaps Porzingis versus Luka Doncic, you know, former teammates as well. So, interesting storylines back and forth in that one. So, it's like where we're heading at, but both series are not done. One series can end tonight, which is Boston knocking off the Pacers. And another series can end tomorrow with the Mavericks knock off the Timberwolves. Either way, you got to wait till both series are done, because no matter what, when next Thursday get here, it is the NBA Finals, regardless of what happens. So with that being said, thank y'all for tuning in on today, on this Memorial Day of Shooting Lights Out. Thank y'all for watching, and I will catch y'all Friday, maybe Wednesday, depending on how games go in the conference finals tonight and tomorrow. And then we'll recap some WNBA action as we get closer to a month of the WNBA season in full effect. But until then, enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day. And once again, thank you to all those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for this country that we live in. God bless.
You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. All your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud, gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.